You are Locked On Panthers, your daily Carolina Panthers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Julian Council, talking Carolina Panthers with you every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, your team every day. That's what we do here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to watch our show and subscribe to our show over on our Locked On Panthers YouTube channel. You can also check us out wherever you listen to this podcast right now. Just be sure to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss a single edition of the show. And follow me on Twitter at Julian Council, where on Friday, I'll be back answering your weekly Friday mailbag questions here on the show. To participate in this week's edition of the weekly Friday mailbag on Locked On Panthers, either at me or DM me over there on Twitter at Julian Council. Today's episode of Locked On Panthers is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. It's been almost a week since Frank Reich was formally introduced as the new head coach here in Carolina. And the hope is that in year one, Frank Reich can set up the Carolina Panthers to be the dominant team in the NFC South moving forward. Tom Brady, finally, thank the Lord, has retired for real this time. Drew Brees, Sean Payton, they're gone from New Orleans, and not quite sure what Dennis Allen and the organization's plan is at quarterback moving forward. The Falcons are the Falcons, and Brady, as I mentioned, gone in Tampa Bay, and Todd Bowles, year one, didn't look great. Some people were asking, should Todd Bowles even still be the head coach down there in Tampa Bay? Well, he is, and he's fired most of his offensive staff. The Carolina Panthers with a young defense, with a solid offensive line, talented player in DJ Moore offensively, they have the core, what I think can be the best team in the NFC South moving forward, especially when you look at how young they are in some of the production that we've gotten out of players like Brian Burns and Derek Brown and Jeremy Chinn and DJ Moore. Get a quarterback in there. You have, hopefully, fingers crossed, the right coach, and this can be the best team in the NFC South moving forward, which is, I believe, right there on the table. And I'm very bullish on what this team can do as long as they check all the boxes that I outlined last week on my offseason to-do list for the Carolina Panthers here in 2023. They do that, they should be the favorites in the NFC South and division champions when it's all said and done during the 2023 season. Now, there are questions about Frank Reich and what went wrong in Indianapolis. Was it his call to bring in Carson Wentz? Was it his call to bring in Matt Ryan? Or was it Chris Ballard, the general manager? Was it Jim Irsay, the owner there in Indianapolis? Should Frank Reich even been fired in the first place there in Indy? So we're going to talk about what went right back when he had Phillip Rivers, when he had Andrew Luck, and they went to the playoffs and even won a playoff game in his first year with Indianapolis. Also, they're known for all the slow starts. What led to the slow starts at the beginning of those seasons and then the turnarounds in the second half of the season, which Frank Reich even brought up during his press conference a week ago. We'll do all of that by asking that right now to Stephen Holder of ESPN.com, who has covered Frank Reich back when he was at the Indy Star, then the Athletic. Now, of course, at the worldwide leader covering the Indianapolis Colts, he was there for all 4+ seasons of Frank Reich's tenure in Indianapolis, and he is kind enough to join me on the show today to let us know who Frank Reich is as a man, as a play caller, as a leader. Overall, we're going to find out the good, the bad, hopefully nothing ugly. I don't really think there's any ugly with Frank Reich, and see what the Carolina Panthers are going to get out of him, or at least are getting from him as a head coach as he comes here to Carolina and takes over that job. So we'll do that right here on the show in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you guys about our friends over at BlueNile.com. Valentine's Day is coming up, which means romance is in the air more than usual. I don't need to tell you, lovebirds, that you probably already had date plans in your calendar for weeks, but have you found the perfect Valentine's Day gift yet? Whether you're celebrating the day of romance or whether you're ready to pop the question, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. At BlueNile.com, you can find the perfect piece of jewelry for life's special moments or even create the custom engagement ring of her dreams. Their simple online tools let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft the perfect piece to your specifications. Blue Nile provides expert guidance, in-depth education materials, and unique online tools that place you in control so you can forget about the usual hassles of jewelry shopping process and focus on the romance. Blue Nile's diamond price guarantee allows you to compare a competitor's diamond against one of theirs. Blue Nile can even meet or beat their price. Every order is insured and arrives quickly in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shipping is free and so are returns. Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off. BlueNile.com. All right, back here on Locked On Panthers. And as promised, Stephen Holder of ESPN.com. He's been covering the Colts for a while now, since 2013. Cover them for the Indy Star, the Athletic, and now you're kind of a newbie, right, to the worldwide leader, Steven. Congratulations on that, man, but happy to have you on the show as we want to talk a lot about what's Frank Reich's tenure in Indianapolis and kind of what Carolina's getting, but happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always happy to talk about Frank. Had a good ride with him here in Indy.
Yeah, and first off, what's the kind of man that Carolina is getting in Frank Reich? Because I've only heard nothing but positive things about Frank Reich, and typically, that's not what you really hear when a coach gets fired, because I know a lot of people here feel some type of way about Matt Rhule after his tenure failed here in Carolina. But Frank Reich had a winning record, also seems to be a great guy. What kind of man are the Panthers getting in Frank Reich?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're getting an A-plus person for sure. You know, we can always debate what kind of coach people, you know, these guys are. But when it comes to the human aspect of it, I mean, he is off the charts. There's no question about that. And I recall about a year into his tenure in Indy, I recall doing a story about his time as a minister in Charlotte and talked to some of the members of his former church and how he touched their lives in various ways. It had nothing to do with religion, right? I mean, whether you agree or disagree, it was more about just, you know, how he related to people and how he impacted people. And I think he brought with him to coaching that same mentality. It's a totally different job, obviously, but I think he never lost that sort of priority in anything that he does. You know, he's a human being first, and then the job itself comes second. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I do think that you can be a good human being and be in a cutthroat business like the NFL. I think those things can be compatible. It's hard, but I think it can be compatible. So he has a good way of finding a way to kind of, you know, resolve those two things and make them, you know, work in tandem.
Yeah, so he's coming here, obviously, the head coach of Carolina. What kind of coach was Frank Reich? I know he ended his tenure in Indianapolis as 40-33-1, so he was winning, and it's not often that you leave a place after just little than 4-5 years with a winning record. So what kind of coach was Frank Reich in Indianapolis when they were winning and even when they were losing?
So I think overall a pretty successful coach. Let's just start with that, right? You can get into the particulars and we will, but if you want to start from the macro version, for me, the 10,000 foot view is that's a pretty successful run in the NFL, you know, when you had a team that didn't have a premier quarterback, as has been well documented. Yeah. So that's the first thing. I would say there's two things I think that he failed to do, which is number one, get this team kind of past this little flirtation with, you know, make the playoffs, but not really do anything. And, you know, they got a little bit of stuck in that rut. And then secondly, I think when things went off the rails in 2022, he wasn't able to really pull it back. Now, I would say he has had a lot of success doing that in the past, right? Where they have a poor start, which is not something you want, right? But they have had that on a couple of occasions, had a poor start, and he was able to bring them back. It is, I think, one of his strengths is when things are going poorly, he's able or had been able to kind of rectify them. That didn't happen this time. He also didn't have, you know, a complete opportunity to do that, right? He got fired after, I believe, 8 games. So, you know, I guess what I'd say, or excuse me, 9 games. So I guess what I'd say is the trend wasn't great when you go back to the end of the 2021 season. They lose their last two, get eliminated from the playoffs when they looked like a sure thing. And then you combine that with the start this season, and the owner, Jim Irsay, just didn't like the trajectory and thought he needed to do something. I get that. I personally, I would have let it ride. I think that his history probably earned him that right. And when you look at just where they were from just a dysfunctional nature of their offense, the quarterback play, the offensive line sort of having a regression, I think I would personally have let it ride and let him figure it out. But I also completely understand the thinking that, okay, we're in a place that we haven't been in a long time and this is not going in the right direction. Both things can be true. I just think that's kind of what led to what happened this year. But overall, I think this year was an outlier for sure. There's no question. This year was an outlier in Frank Reich's tenure.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, not being in Indy, not covering this team, and obviously not watching the Colts week in, week out, I look at it, 2018, he has Andrew Luck. They win a playoff game, lose to Kansas City in divisional round. Andrew Luck decides to retire in August, which surprises everyone, and it feels like the Colts are still trying to get over that wound of Andrew Luck leaving the organization far earlier than anyone would ever would expected. Okay, you're with Jacoby Brissett in 2019. Fine quarterback, not a guy you want for 16 games, but he's still fine. Get Phillip Rivers, that works out for a year, losing the wild card round to Buffalo. Then the next year, Carson Wentz, it was going okay. Big win on a Saturday night against the Patriots. And then you bring up the final 2 weeks, especially the loss at Jacksonville. And then the infamous video of Jim Irsay on the tarmac talking about the situation there. And then Matt Ryan. So I'm just, what the common theme is, all right, you had a quarterback, but then since then, it's all just been a merry-go-round and carousel. Like, is that really where you point to as where things might have gone wrong for Frank Reich? And I just want to know also, like, who's even to blame there? Did he want Carson Wentz? Did he want Matt Ryan? Or was it Jim Irsay? Was it Chris Ballard, the general manager? Like, who is there to blame with all that went on the last 5 years as far as the quarterback position, outside of course, Andrew Luck deciding, I'm tired of rehabbing and being hurt all the time?
Well, to your first question, you know, was the quarterback issue really what did him in? I wholeheartedly believe that, right? I mean, you saw the best of Frank Reich in 2018. And when they had an offense that had confidence, and they played with this edge that it was really interesting. I mean, they were so young back then, by the way. In 2018, they're a veteran team now. A lot of those guys, though, at that time, they were in their first and second year. You know, the guys like Quentin Nelson, you know, were rookies that year. Shaquille Leonard was a rookie that year. I mean, these guys played out of their minds. And I think the collective confidence they played with, even though Frank is a mild-mannered guy, he does have this way of building players up to play with confidence. And I've heard guys explain it, and it's not the easiest thing to explain. Sure. But you definitely understand that there's something tangible to it, because I've heard them talk about it, and I know what they're saying. So anyway, that's the first thing. When you talk about who's at fault, I would say a lot of people's hands are dirty here, okay? His too, Frank Reich's as well, but he's not the only one. I mean, certainly coming back from, it's not just that Andrew Luck retired. It's also the fact that he had been through 2 years of doubts and questions and concerns about his future, overcame it, played absolutely incredibly, I think had his most efficient season in his one season with Andrew Luck. I saw all but 1 year of Andrew Luck's career, covered every game, and I would argue that that was his most efficient season. I don't know if it's his best season. We could quibble, but his most efficient season. He made the best decisions I ever saw him make, and that was not an accident at all. I give Frank Reich 100% credit for that. Andrew Luck had this tendency to play like this renegade. You know, he had a lot of Josh Allen in him. Young Josh Allen, you know, and it does, maybe Josh Allen now too.
But Josh still a little bit of down that table is gone.
Yeah, exactly. So he was definitely Josh Allen before Josh Allen, I think. And Frank kind of got him to play a different kind of ball. I really give him a lot of credit for that. And I always wonder, man, what would have been, not just because Andrew Luck's really good, but Andrew Luck with Frank Reich was going to be just a different player. Anyhow. So it's not just that Andrew Luck walks out the door. That certainly is no one's fault, right? It just happens.
Football's fault, if anything.
Exactly. Great. Perfectly put. Now, after that, I just think there was this this sort of indecision. Okay. It's like, all right, well, we have this really good roster. We can't just bottom out and go draft some rookie who may or may not work out. You know, lots of teams have died on that vine, you know, and they didn't want to go that route. And I understand it. You know, they had invested all these draft picks. They drafted well. And, you know, they thought that they could keep this rolling. Jacoby Brissett couldn't do it. They upgrade, they get Phillip Rivers, they thought, but he's 39. So it's not for long. And they played pretty well that year. Should have, I think, had every opportunity in the world to win their first round playoff game at Buffalo that year. Just a couple of plays went the other way. So, but that was certainly a step in the right direction. Phillip Rivers retires as well. So there's a trend here, quarterbacks retiring. Anyway, at that point, I think really the discussion was, okay, Matthew Stafford's out there. They did not want to aggressively make that move. You saw what it took to land him. And so they did not go that route. They elected not to. And then it became a matter of, you know, Frank Reich having to look within and say, can I get Carson Wentz to recapture what he had when we were in Philadelphia? I get why he bet on Carson Wentz. I totally get it, right? I mean, Carson Wentz's best football happened with Frank Reich at his side. No question about it. And they have just an incredible relationship that is very, very unique. So I get it. Was it clouded at all? Possibly. Possibly, right? But it also was, it was always a gamble. And you're going to win or lose. And they lost. That's what happened. So I think this year, the Matt Ryan experiment, I don't put that on Frank Reich. That was really just, look, the owner laid down the law. He said, look, we're moving on. We're getting another quarterback.
Yeah.
Frank Reich, had he had the option, maybe would have stuck with Carson Wentz another year just to see, you know? And I think the continuity was what he was looking for. Matt Ryan was just available. That's what we had. And it turned out his unfamiliarity with Frank Reich's offense, I think, was a bigger issue than the Colts perceived it would be. And that was a big setback, including or combined, excuse me, with the offensive line regressing.
Okay. Yeah, not a lot of good
long explanation. Sorry.
No, hey, that's what I'm looking for. All of that, because I'm trying to understand, sitting here in Charlotte, like what went wrong? Because again, the dude had a winning record. So he obviously is not a bad coach. And when he had good quarterbacks, and I really like the tidbit you bring there that you believe that the most efficient football, I mean, probably stats say it as well, Andrew Luck played, was that year with Frank Reich back in 2018. So it is unfortunate for Reich and the Colts organization that Luck decided to retire, because we're probably not having this conversation if Andrew – no, we're definitely not having this conversation if Andrew Luck would have started, kept playing football and would still be out there right now, because I think they probably go to multiple more playoffs. Who knows where they are? Because I believe in 2019 the thought was Colts could be a Super Bowl contender. And then Andrew Luck decides, I'm good. I'm not going to be here. Does the whole Magic Johnson thing. I'm out of here. So it's unfortunate for Reich, but it could be an advantage for Carolina. So do you still look at Frank Reich? You know, now in the NFL, everyone's looking at these offensive coaches, which is unfortunate for, you know, people here in Carolina who want Steve Wilks to get the job because he didn't coach offense is probably the primary reason why he's not the coach here. And David Tepper, the owner, made that known this week that he wanted an offensive coach because of the rules get changed in the offensive side of the favor every year, which I thought was an interesting explanation for why he wanted to do that. But obviously Carolina's going to be looking for a quarterback, and Frank Reich, having been a quarterback in this league, having worked with Andrew Luck, having worked with Carson Wentz when he played his best football back in 2017, when I think he probably would have won the MVP had he not hurt his knee there at the Coliseum against the Rams. Do you still look at him as a coach who can really work with a young quarterback and be able to maximize that player's value and get them to a capable level at this level in the NFL?
I do. And I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier, the example of Andrew Luck in 2018 playing the way he did. But it also, I think, includes the job that he did with Jacoby Brissett the following year. I mean, that's some of the best football that Jacoby Brissett has played. And he had a knee injury that year and I think kind of regressed afterward. So maybe in the back half of that season and their results reflected that. I'm not suggesting that Jacoby Brissett was that he put the team on his back or anything, but he played very competent football. And I thought that was his job. His job was to not screw it up. And he didn't, you know? And so, you know, Frank Reich was a big factor in that. He helped enable him to do that. The other example honestly, is 2020. So Philip Rivers with the, I guess they were in Los Angeles at the time, the Los Angeles Chargers in 2019, he has a career high in interceptions, okay? And it looks like he might be done, okay? And there were a lot of questions about whether that was a good move for the Colts. They go get him, and he comes in, and he actually has a really efficient season. Their offense clicks. It actually was one of the best starts they had under Frank Reich. I think it was, in fact, the best start they had under Frank Reich was that 2020 season with 39-year-old Philip Rivers. Granted, the familiarity helped. That's true. But look, I mean, there were a lot of justified doubts about Philip Rivers in 2020, and he was fine. And so I think there's a track record there. There's no question about it. There's a track record. Look, I know they didn't, there was no postseason success to speak of. I get that part, and that's totally fair. But certainly the job he's done with quarterbacks, I think it speaks for itself. The other thing I would add, this kind of rolls into that too. His ability to really develop a formidable running game is key too. Because if you have that, that running scheme is going to help the quarterback. They're going to be largely a zone blocking team, at least if he continues doing what he's done in the past. And they have really done a good job with the schemes. I mean, listen, look at Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. He leaves the Colts last season, 2021, goes to Philadelphia. They weren't a finished product at the time. In fact, they were predicted to be pretty bad in 2021. And he brought a lot of the elements from the Colts running game to Philly. And what happened? They became like instantly the best running team in the NFL. So yeah. I'm not saying all of that was Frank Reich. No, I mean, Nick Sirianni is really sharp. Okay. Really sharp, smart guy, great staff, but don't discount what he learned under Frank Reich. I mean, they were joined at the hip for quite a few years.
Okay. Yeah. And that's one of the things too, like when Frank was asked about kind of what went wrong in Indy, he said, we stopped being able to run the football. And I know Jonathan Taylor had an injury this past year. And the offensive line, like you mentioned, regressed because Quentin Nelson, there's one video that they showed all the time where he just basically destroyed some dude, end up getting fined over it because, of course, the NFL would fine somebody over a viral moment like that. That's one of the things that we talked about. They couldn't run the football. And Carolina, solid offensive line that bounced back this year. Deontay Foreman's a free agent. There's talk that they want to bring him back. Frank brought him up by name at the press conference. So it's interesting to hear about that zone blocking scheme you bring up and how Sirianni leaves the Colts to take the Eagles job. And of course, they're one of the top offenses in the league and about to play for Super Bowl and basically been the best team all season long here in 2022. Let me ask you a couple more here and I'll let you go. Just looking at that Colts staff, because I know there's still a coaching search for whatever reason. They're going to have a third round of interviews. Good luck to Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard and all the folks there spending 12 hours in these interviews. Don't really know what they're talking about for 12 hours. And also to you, good Lord, good luck for trying to figure out what's going to happen there. But are there any assistants that you would imagine Frank Reich would bring here to Carolina? I know Gus Bradley has been someone people have talked about a potential defensive coordinator here in Carolina. Frank Reich's going to keep James Campanile, line coach here, and then a special teams coach here. So Bubba Ventrone will not come into Carolina. Anybody you're looking on that coach staff you think might follow Frank Reich here to Carolina?
Well, the one unrelated thing I'd start with is that I know that Frank has told me in the past that he believes the offensive line coach is the number one position on the staff, the most important. So that's a hell of an endorsement, you know, that he's keeping the offensive line coach. I would start by saying that. Okay. So good for him. As far as defensive coordinator, it's just really early to say. I think the Colts search is kind of, I think, impacting this, you know, and not knowing where they're going. It's kind of impossible right now to say, you know, what they might or might not be willing to do or to allow, I should say, when it comes to their own assistants and in terms of movement, right? Because they can block. It can block interviews. They can block that movement depending on what it is. So I think everybody's in kind of a holding pattern. I've talked to some coaches and that's kind of what everybody on the staff is saying. Like, yeah, I'm sitting here with my feet up on vacation, basically, and just kind of waiting. Like, so they're like the rest of us. They're like the fans. They're like, you know, wake me up when this is over. So that's really, I think, the unknown right now. Gus Bradley, I would say him and Frank Reich don't have a long history, but when Matt Eberflus went to Chicago, took that job, and left the Colts with an opening at defense coordinator. You know, they did some interviews and some prominent names. In fact, they looked at some prominent defensive coordinator candidates and settled on Gus Bradley. I thought he did a pretty good job. I would have to look closer at Carolina's personnel and see whether it fits what he does and whether that's a mesh, but certainly I was skeptical when they hired him because the Raiders the year before, not exactly a defensive force, but I think he got the most out of the Colts defense this year at times. And I mean, that defense kept them in games that they had no business being in because they couldn't move the ball. I know the record says otherwise, and it's fine. I'm not saying they played great, but their defense gave them a chance in just about every game in the first half of the season until it just, at some point, things just devolve, and even your strengths start turning into weaknesses at some point. You just can't overcome, you can't get out of your own way, you know? Yeah. But overall, really, really strong job defensively. So we'll see. I can't speak to what the new coach will want. We don't know who that is, but I would say now that job's still open in Carolina, I would say that that defensive style that Gus Bradley plays, not everybody's on board with it. So it's kind of an interesting taste for some people. So I can't speak to whether the new coach will keep him or not. It's a crapshoot. Anyway, you asked me about assistants who would come with him. So,
yeah, no, hey, I'm good, man. Do your thing. Yeah. Let us know what's going on.
Right. So, but I just think that's a big one, right? The defensive coordinator. So I don't know what happens there, but I think it bears watching. It depends on what happens in Indy. The other thing is Parks Frazier is a name to watch. Now, Parks Frazier ended up being the play caller after Frank Reich was fired. And he was not really in a position to take that job. He was the assistant quarterbacks coach, but he basically started here as an intern, and he's become Frank's protege of sorts, very, very close to him and Frank's family. And so I anticipate he would take some sort of offensive role in Carolina. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. The interesting thing about the staff is that it's kind of been hit hard the last couple of years. Frank Reich has allowed a lot of his assistant coaches to have upward mobility. And so he allowed, for example, Sirianni to take some assistant coaches. Press Taylor was on the offensive staff. He went to Jacksonville and joined Doug Peterson as his offensive coordinator. So like he's over the last 2 years, the staff has really been hit hard. And I don't think that ultimately helped Frank Reich to be completely honest, but I also give him credit for not, you know, sort of restricting the growth of guys and men that he respects, you know? So it's a double-edged sword. So I don't think it's going to be sort of a wholesale thing where a bunch of assistant coaches come with him. But I'll say this last thing, Frank Reich is very thorough when it comes to hiring assistant coaches. And I've had a lot of conversations with him about his process. He's very thorough and he's very, he definitely has a very specific process that he goes through. He'll talk to a lot of people. So I think he'll wind up with a pretty formidable staff. He's just very well thought of around the league as well.
Well, that's great. I know the owner here, David Tepper, said that he's willing to spend whatever it takes to get the best staff possible here. I know Kevin Petullo, who was the wide receiver coach there for two seasons under Reich in Indianapolis, now is a passing game coordinator with Philadelphia. He's been a name that's been mentioned as a possible OC, which would be up.
He's a good coach, by the way. Okay. Very good coach. I think, in fact, I think if it wasn't for that Philadelphia opportunity, I think he'd still be here.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. So there's that. And Parks Frazier, that thing too. His wife, Caroline, who I'm sure you probably know
very well.
She was here covering the Panthers for a year before, I guess, they got engaged. She moved back there with him, and she's from South Carolina. So it would be kind of a homecoming for her again if he does take a job here on Frank Reich's staff. That's something I was thinking. I mean, Frank, and that's been kind of a homecoming for him and his family as well. And that could be kind of the same case for the Frazier family. Lastly,
Frank Reich, the minister, officiated their wedding.
Oh, well, there. Yes. So, okay.
Like, so that when I say they're close, like they're really close.
So he's, so he's coming.
Yes.
unless I guess
something I don't know.
I mean, unless like, I guess Jeff Saturday gets a job. He's like, you're my OC. It seems like he's coming to Carolina. All right. Exactly. So hey, no questions asked there. Last one for you though. Cause the important thing is obviously stability at the quarterback position. I know Indianapolis needs it. Carolina needs it. And I'm imagining Frank Reich is not trying to go out there and do the whole, let's hope this veteran works. And Carolina's done that the last 2 years with Darnold, which, shocker, that didn't work. And then Baker Mayfield, depending on, considering the time he came in, not necessarily surprised it didn't work. Didn't think it would be that bad. Thought actually would be a little bit better than Darnold. That obviously was not the case. The thought is that Carolina is likely going to take a quarterback. Now, sitting at 9, I don't know how they're going to get to the top guys. The Colts are sitting there at 3. Is it very clear the Colts are going to take a quarterback? Because if that's the case, Carolina's probably going to have to shell out a ton, maybe to get it to number 1, or hope at 5 of Seattle, the general manager, Scott Bitter, has those connections with John Snyder and that organization, hope that maybe one of the top 2 or 3 guys are sitting right there. Is it set in stone that Irsay and that organization, they're going quarterback this year?
Yeah, they're picking 4th. I think there is like a 0.1% chance they don't go quarterback. and it's for the reasons that you have just outlined, right? It's a hard way to go, you know, every year trying to figure it out. They didn't anticipate that that would be the outcome, but that's just the way the dominoes fell. It didn't work out. The solutions they found did not work out, and so they've been at this, you know, 4 years in a row. I mean, it has to stop. Yeah. There's no guarantee they're going to get it right. Right. I mean, because better men than Chris Ballard, their GM, have screwed this up. Okay. So it's entirely possible, but yes, that is the plan. Draft a quarterback, get off the carousel. And it does complicate things for Carolina. There's no question about that. Look, we'll see. I think there's a group of 3, as you know, right at the top. And then it gets a little sketchier after that. But look, enough teams. I think all these teams have learned lessons, you know, and hard lessons. Both these teams, in fact, I think they're very familiar in many ways. In some ways, maybe Frank Reich's the perfect coach, because I'm not saying they're exactly the same, but they've experienced some of the same issues.
Oh, he should feel right at home based really on what he went through in Indianapolis. Been the same case here in Carolina after.
They're probably the only team that's had more starters since their last franchise quarterback than the Colts have. Because I think they've had more starters than the Colts have since Cam, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a bunch.
Baker, Sam, PJ Walker, Kyle Allen. I guess we'll throw him in there in 2019.
Yeah, I saw some ridiculous numbers.
Will Greer, 4, already up to 5. So,
yeah.
And Teddy, so like 6. And then maybe Heinicke at the end of that 2018 season, you want to throw him in there. It's like 6 or 7. It's been absurd.
It's a tough way to live, man. Tough way to live.
And that's what Frank Reich said. You know, you can adapt, but he ain't trying to live like that. And he knows better than most of us, because he would still have a job probably in Indy if he didn't have to live like that. So we'll see how it works out here in Carolina. But Steven, I appreciate all your insight. Follow him on Twitter at Holder Steven. Also ESPN.com, y'all. That's where he writes for. Very easy to go find his stuff with the Colts. All the Colts beat writers do a great job, including Steven. And I mean, Mike Wells is awesome back. I guess you kind of replaced Mike up there at ESPN.com.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Mike was always great. I used to work in Nashville and have him on. I think I had you on there a lot of times too. But all the indie guys are always great. Zach Kiefer as well. But Steven does a great job. You got a podcast? You got anything you want to plug?
I don't. Just check out our Colts coverage. We've got we're going to be keeping tabs on the quarterback market. That's for sure. So, in fact, I mean, check out we have a piece that ran this week where we simulated the quarterback offseason moves. Mm-hmm. It's a collaborative effort by our writers. So it gives you some possible permutations and outcomes to think about, you know, so it's interesting. It's food for thought. So
yeah,
something to chew on.
He's someone you want to follow, because the Colts are taking a quarterback. So we got to figure out who they're going to take to see who the Panthers get a chance to get, unless David Tepper sells the farm to get number 1 overall. But either way, Steven Holder, ESPN.com. Follow him again on Twitter at Holder Steven, covers the Indianapolis Colts. Steven, thanks again, man.
All right. No problem. Anytime.
All right. We'll take a quick pause. Be right back here on Locked On Panthers. This episode of Locked On Panthers is brought to you by LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs and targeting tools. They go beyond the resume data by using insights from your job posts, company, and their 875 million member profiles
put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Great conversation there with Stephen Holder of ESPN.com. Again, follow him on Twitter at HolderStephen. And you're going to want to, especially with the draft coming up. A lot of y'all always asking me questions about the draft. Y'all, I have no idea what they should do other than draft a quarterback. And I don't know how things are going to play out until we go through free agency. Maybe Indianapolis decides, actually, let's do that 0.1% and go get another washed up veteran quarterback. We'll see what happens, but you need to follow Stephen Holder and really everyone up there in Indianapolis because they can give you the lowdown on what's going to go on with the Colts. I guess he said are drafting fourth overall because that's certainly going to directly impact Carolina and their ability to go out there and find a franchise quarterback to work with Frank Reich. Love what he said about Frank Reich working with Andrew Luck and Andrew Luck having his most efficient season there in 2018 where they won a playoff game before losing to the Kansas City Chiefs on the road in the divisional round. So love to hear that. And also he still believes that Frank Reich is someone who can absolutely work with a quarterback and mold them and be able to get the best out of them. And that's certainly what we need here in Carolina. And that's absolutely why David Tepper hired Frank Reich to be the head coach. He talks about Frank Reich's vision and all that. Come on, man. You hire the dude because he had a winning record, had success when he had a quarterback in Indianapolis, played a position, and first and foremost is an offensive coach. That's why Frank Reich is here, and that's why I'm putting a ton of pressure year one on Frank Reich because the roster is in a position with the right coach, which I think they have, and with a quarterback, they can win what is the worst division in the NFL in the NFC South. I don't think I'm asking all that much. I guess I kind of am, but to me, no, because we've sat here and we've waited long enough for this team to not be terrible, which they've been over the last five seasons. It's time to win, and that's what Frank Reich is here to do. Find that quarterback, groom him, and go out there and win some damn football games here in 2023. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, hosted by yours truly, Julian Council. Again, y'all be sure to watch the show and subscribe to the show over on our Locked On Panthers YouTube channel. Follow me on Twitter at Julian Council, where every Friday I answer weekly Friday mailbag questions either at me or DM me to participate this Friday on the weekly Friday mailbag. Also, rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast so you never miss a single edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. As always, or in the meantime, I messed up the ending. Whatever. Be safe, be happy, be whole. As always, keep pounding, and I'll talk to y'all on Tuesday.